www.thebridgeofchrist.com.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. Hey, a little bit more energy. We'll try to get that. I know. Probably ironic or something, but as Bob's talking about everything going wrong, I'm up there scrambling trying to get our online thing going because, you know, computers and that sort of thing. So I'm like going, yep, this is kind of the way it goes. Hey, this morning, Scott is going around and passing out some pages. We want each person to have one. It's not something you need during the message. It's something we'll just refer to at the end. So if you want to just stick that aside for now and we'll hand them out or take a look at them kind of at the end here of the message. So we are in this series called I Am God's Plan. And we've been doing this for six weeks now. And just a quick recap for everyone where we've been. Okay, so we talked about first God. That was where things started. How he has set eternity in our hearts so that we might seek him and find him. And then we talked about I am, which is different than just the idea of God in general, but it's personal, right? It's not enough just to know about God. He wants us to know him in a personal way. Then we talked about God's plan, where Jesus is and always has been God's plan for salvation. He's the only one who can restore our broken relationship with God and give us eternal life. And then we talked about how often we have the attitude of, I am God. Like, we have this tendency to want to do things our own way, to be our own God, to make our own rules, rather than surrendering to him. But when we do put our faith and trust in him, we can say, I am God's. Like, I belong to him. We have this new reality. We belong to him. We can know for certain that we're chosen, valued, secure, and loved by God. But also we get this new identity, which Scott Westfall talked about last week. Now, there are a lot of aspects to our identity in Christ. Like, we have been redeemed. We've been bought back and brought back to God with a price that Jesus paid. We're now being sanctified, right? We're being made to be more like Jesus. We will be saved, like we are already saved, but we haven't realized it yet, right? Already, but not yet. We're called and we're chosen by God. We're adopted into his family. We're reconciled to him through Jesus' sacrifice. Like, we've been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness and into his light. We were once enemies of God. All of us were. We were destined as enemies for judgment and wrath, but now, because of what Jesus has done and because of our faith in him, we are at peace with him. We have peace with God, and we're destined for eternal life in heaven with Jesus. Like, that's all good stuff, right? This is all of what Jesus has accomplished and what we have in Christ. But last week, Scott really challenged us with something else that is part of our identity, and it actually set the stage very perfectly for the rest of this series and where we're going to be going. Because he talked about how our identity is as ambassadors of Jesus. Right? Our identity is ambassadors of Jesus. It was great. It was, if you missed the message or missed any along the lines, I would encourage you to go on Facebook and watch the worship gatherings there, or on our iTunes podcasts, or on our website for downloads. Right? We have lots of ways you can catch up. And I'm going to encourage you to do that and kind of catch up on the journey we've been on. But all this amazing stuff that we've talked about over the last 6 weeks, like all of what Jesus has done for us, is a powerful statement of who we are in Christ. But we have to ask this, what now? Right? Like, what next? Is that all there is for us? Like, now that we know Jesus, do we just cruise through our days living the good life until we die? Right? Is the point of this life coming to know Jesus and then just hanging on for dear life until it's over? Right? Enduring a few hardships until we reach the end of our time here, when we leave this world behind and drift off into eternity with God in heaven? No, of course not. We don't believe that's all there is, not for a second. But we often live like that anyway, don't we? The focus over the next couple of weeks is going to shift as we step into the theme, I am God's plan. Right? Now, we should have seen this coming. It's the title of the series, right? I am God's plan. And specifically today, we are going to look at how I am God's plan to share the hope of Jesus with the world. Now, Paul, the Apostle Paul, was the foremost ambassador, probably, for Jesus and the message of the gospel in his day. Actually, probably ever in history, if we're honest about it. But he didn't see sharing the good news about Jesus as a job that was just for him, or just for people like him. In his letter to Philemon, and this was a very personal letter that he wrote to another Christian on behalf of the man's servant, Onesimus. And he wrote this to Philemon in Philemon 1, 4 through 6. He said this, I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus and for all the saints. Okay, like think about that. Wouldn't that be a great thing to hear about yourself or ourselves? Like, wouldn't that be such a great thing to hear from Paul? Like, to be commended for that? And I think as a small little community of faith, those are things that I think describe us, right? It describes most of you and me personally. We're people of love. I think we love each other well, or at least try to. We try to love others. We're people of faith. Like, we have faith in Jesus, no doubt about that. And that's such a good foundation, right? But that's not all there is. Here's what Paul says next to him. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective. Now, the word for sharing here is koinonia. It's about sharing, but it means communion and fellowship as well. And so you could read this and think, well, he's talking about is sharing their faith like in common with other believers and doing the work of ministry together. And that could be accurate, but he's already kind of talked about that. And sharing your faith also points to doing evangelism, right? It's the work of bringing the gospel message to people around him who didn't know Jesus. Because keeping his faith to himself, that's not what Jesus had in mind. And so Paul says, I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective, which kind of implies it really wasn't quite there yet. It really wasn't quite there yet. And there's a few reasons why that could be. It could be that Philemon was doing it but isn't very good at it. Right? It could be that Philemon is doing it, but people aren't open to Jesus, and it could be that Philemon just isn't doing it. And I got to thinking, these are some things that can hold us back, both individually and as a faith community, from sharing the gospel with people around us as well. Right? Like, look, we aren't seeing many people come to know Jesus here at church. Just going to say that flat out. I haven't heard hardly any stories recently of people among us, you know, leading someone to Christ outside these walls and, you know, this great spiritual encounter that someone had that we got to be a part of. Doesn't mean it's not happening, but we aren't hearing a lot of stories like that. So let's be real about this. Like Philemon, the sharing of our faith may not be very effective. And maybe the reasons are similar too. So let's think about those three reasons, right? The first reason is maybe we're doing it, but we aren't good at it. Like we're doing it, we're trying, but we aren't good at it. Like we're good at some things, right? We love people well, we show good hospitality, we're about work. The mission of the church is to share the gospel with those who don't know him yet. Of evangelism. Right? They are supernaturally gifted by God to do this, like Paul. Right? They're very good at sharing their faith and seeing people respond and coming to Christ. Like I personally, not gifted like that, not in that strongest way. But honestly, not many people are. And yet it's not just their job. Right? All of us believers are called to share the gospel. Now, maybe for some here, you're doing it, you're trying, but you just don't feel adequate to share the gospel. Right? Maybe you're like, I don't know what I would say. I don't know how I would lead someone to Christ. I'm not sure what to share. Like, honestly, I don't think that's the case for most of us. Most of us have done this before. But in case that's where you're at, here's the gospel just summed up. Right? Like, we are all sinful by nature. We've all come up short of God, who is true and perfect and holy. And that's sin. The result of sin is death and an eternity separated from God. We in and of ourselves can't do anything to make that right, but God gave his son Jesus as a savior. He lived this perfect life. He willingly allowed himself to be crucified on a cross as a sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice for our sin. Because of his love for us, he was willing to pay the price that we couldn't possibly pay. And he rose again on the third day, appeared to many to show that he had conquered both sin and death. And when we put our faith and trust in him, we're made right with God. And we receive eternal life in Christ. That's the message. That's it, in a nutshell. That's the message that has to be shared with people around us. And then typically we would invite someone, if they're ready to respond, to pray to receive Jesus. So in a sense, that's all there is to it. So let me ask you, is that something you think you could do? Is that something you think you could share or explain with someone else? So if you're capable of sharing that message, and I would say all of you likely are, then being inadequate is not the problem, at least not the main problem. So the second thing that we saw in Philemon, and maybe it's true for us, is maybe we're doing it, but people just aren't open to Jesus. Right? Like we're sharing the gospel, but people just aren't open to Jesus. Like, so you're at least trying to, but you're getting shut down. Right? They're not responding. They aren't interested. Well, that first of all, that's not really on us. It's on them, and it's between them and God. It's our job, though, to share the gospel. We're supposed to do that. It's God's job to worry about the results. But this is an easy one to evaluate. Like whether you're doing it or not, just ask yourself, how many people have you shared the gospel with recently? Or how many have you tried to share the gospel with recently that rejected your efforts, refused to hear? And if the answer is like none, or hardly anyone, if the number is small, then people shutting you out is not the real issue either. Which means the real issue is probably the third thing. We just aren't doing it. We just aren't doing it. And I would guess that most of the time, if we don't share the gospel, it's not because we don't know how. And it's not because people are shutting us down. Most of the time, we don't share the gospel, it's because of fear or apathy on our part. We just aren't doing it. Now, I will say this, that sometimes we kind of automatically assume that people aren't open to Jesus or having a spiritual conversation, so we just don't try. And we'll rationalize it by saying things like, well, I don't want to shove religion down someone's throat, or I don't want to turn them off to Jesus. But the thing is if they're not a believer, they're already turned off to Jesus. They're spiritually dead, the scripture says, and only responding to Jesus and the gospel message can bring them life. You need to hear that. I mean, Paul wrote in Romans 1:16, he said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." Right? We hit this one pretty hard when we were in Romans, but it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Look, the gospel message is what makes the difference. You and I, we have this crazy, awesome gift. Eternal life that God has given us through Jesus. And we're not often talking about it with anybody. That has to change in our heart. That's to change in our life. Because the bottom line is this: I am God's plan. I am God's plan. And you can say the same thing. You are God's plan. Or maybe said a little bit differently, kind of here's a key idea for today that we can take away. Jesus is God's plan for salvation. We know it's Jesus who has accomplished that. But I am God's plan for sharing it with the world. Jesus is God's plan for salvation, but I am God's plan. You are God's plan for sharing it with the world. I've said it this way in the past, like, we're plan A, and there is no plan B. This is how God has chosen to do it. He's entrusted us to share the gospel. Now, I don't know that I need to convince anyone here that it's important to share the gospel. I don't know that I necessarily need to build a case because you don't really believe it's important or shouldn't be doing it, but just in case you need to hear this, I want to share four quick verses with you, or passages. The first is the words of Jesus, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you, and behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's bringing them into association with Jesus. We're called to do that. Romans 10:14. Paul writes, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching?" And that doesn't mean like preaching, standing up here doing the message. It's about telling them about Jesus. They can't believe if they don't hear the truth. 2 Timothy 4, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season." Now that is about talking about the truth, but the truth, the word, is Jesus. It's about telling people about Jesus. 1 Peter 3:15, "But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect." Right? We have a reason for hope. And when people see that, We want to be able to tell them what it's about. It's about Jesus. And yet we do it with gentleness and respect. Right? So in case there's any doubt, hopefully that kind of is case closed. Right? We are supposed to share the gospel. All of us. Like every one of us. If you are a follower of Christ, you're called to share him with everyone around you who doesn't yet know him. So this last weekend, I was not here, and thanks to Scott for covering. I was in Florida. it was a little warmer than it is today. We had a chance, Sherry and I had a chance to go see Taryn at her school. We haven't been there since this is her fourth semester. And because she transferred at a semester break when things were closed, we've just never been down there to see it. So this was kind of an open weekend that they had at school to invite people to come and visit and that sort of thing. So we finally were able to make the trip. I'm on the plane on the way down, and I'm listening to this podcast. It's a podcast by a psychologist, an author, a speaker, Jordan B. Peterson. Maybe you've heard of him. Interesting guy, kind of all over the map. But he was talking about this in regards to people. And he said this, everything, as an analogy, he said, everything in a house that needs repair or attention is a war that has not yet been fought. Right? Everything in a house that needs repair or attention is a war that has not yet been fought. And I laughed when I heard that because I thought, man, that's my house. That is totally my house. It's almost depressing, right? Like the work list never seems to be done. Maybe you can relate to this. And then that work list keeps growing. You get one thing done and find two more things that need to get done. And it's amazing when you actually make some progress, right? When you fix something or you finally see something made right again. And the thought kind of hit me as I heard that in the same way, I think we need to see every person around us who is still breathing but doesn't know Jesus as a battle that hasn't been fully fought. Not that we're wrestling against the person, right? We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle. We wrestle against evil and against the rulers of darkness. The people who don't know Jesus are not the enemy, but they are the ones we should be fighting for. So how do we fight? Like, how do we turn the tide a little bit? How do we get engaged in this battle for the spiritual well-being of others in a more active way? Right? So I want to suggest a couple of things today. The first thing is this. We need to pray. We need to pray. Like, look, God hears and answers prayer. So let's be sure we're praying for those who don't know Jesus. Pick two or three people who you know are not followers of Christ and just start praying for them every day. You know, pray that their eyes, their ears, their hearts would be open to see Jesus. Pray for wisdom to know how to have impact. Pray for the opportunity to share the hope of Jesus with them personally, like an open door, an open opportunity. And pray for the courage to step through any door that God opens up for you. Right? That's step one, or first thing we should be doing. We need to pray. The second thing is we need to connect. We need to connect. Like, we have to be intentional about building relationships with people who need the hope of Jesus. Right? Specifically, with people who don't know him yet. Everybody needs the hope of Jesus. But there are those who don't know him yet. Now, on occasion, maybe we're going to be able to engage strangers in some sort of conversation, but generally it's going to be with someone we have some sort of relationship with. And here's the thing, if you don't have any of those people in your life, if you look around you and go, I don't really know anybody who's not a follower of Christ, or I'm not rubbing shoulders with anybody like that on a regular basis, then either your circle of relationships is too small, or your Christian bubble is way too big. Right? You know what I'm saying? Like, either your circle of influence is so small that you don't have relationships with believers inside of it. Like, you're not allowing them in or finding ways to connect. Or your Christian bubble is so big that it keeps you from connecting with unbelievers in the world. Now, I want you to think about this. Imagine if Jesus had picked his 12 disciples, and then the 13 of them just went like, hey, come with me. We're going to get lost. We're going to make sure we don't run into anybody else who's not on the same page as us. They just disappeared. How would anyone else come to know about Jesus? We need to make sure we are connecting in meaningful ways with people around us who don't know Jesus if we want to make Jesus known. All right? So we need to connect. We need to engage. Engage, and specifically, this is about spiritual conversations. Like, look, I know that can be scary or intimidating or nerve-wracking. It's like you're just trusting the Lord going, all right, God, give me words. I'm not sure what to say here. But can I just encourage you, remember where this whole series started? Week one, first thing we talked about. The reality is that 90% of people around you have some sort of belief in a God or a spiritual being or force of some kind. 9 out of 10. And I read a recent survey that says, that, yeah, it confirmed, like, it's at least 8 out of 10, more like 8.5 out of 10, et cetera, et cetera. And the survey also said 75% of adults surveyed said they want to grow spiritually. Wow, those are some high numbers. That's a lot of common ground for us to be able to have, to initiate a spiritual conversation with someone, even if they're total strangers. We don't necessarily have to be afraid of having a spiritual, engaging in a spiritual conversation. Because people are far more likely open to spiritual conversations than we think. Now, that being said, think about this. What percentage of people that gather for church each Sunday here and across the nation have actually shared the gospel with another person or had a spiritual conversation with a non-believer in the past week or the past year? I mean, when was the last time that happened for you? For me, we have to ask that. I heard Francis Chan say something like this: isn't it just a little bit embarrassing that we can't look another human being in the eye and tell them about the best news we've ever heard and the most important thing in our life? Look, we need to engage people in spiritual conversations. That's the third thing. Fourth thing is we need to share, and specifically, I mean share the gospel. Right? Like, you've heard the expression, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. We all know that, probably have heard it. We all love it. I get it. We need to live lives that show people who Jesus is. We need to live lives that draw others towards the love and the hope and the truth that we have come to know for ourselves. We need to make sure we live lives that look like Jesus and stands a bit in contrast to the world around us. In fact, Jesus said, live such good lives among the Gentiles, in other words, those who were considered non-believers, so that they would see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Like, our actions need to speak very, very loudly. And yet at the same time, we'll often hear that expression or use that expression, preach the gospel at all times when necessary, use words, and all it does is justify trying to be a really good person who keeps their mouth shut about Jesus. Like, look, if we think for a second that our lifestyle alone is going to lead someone to Jesus, we're kidding ourselves. In fact, this is maybe an indictment on me, on you, on us as Christians, but there are people who are non-believers who seem to live way better lives than you and I do sometimes. Than many Christians do. People need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the truth about Jesus. We have to use... Okay, time out. Back up here. I know we all love kids, but... People need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the truth about Jesus. We have to use words. We have to tell them about Jesus. Like Paul said again in Romans 10:14, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching, without someone telling them? We need to share the hope of Jesus and the gospel message verbally, not just by our lives, because people need to hear the truth in order to believe it. And here's the last one we need to invite. And this is kind of broad. Invite them to church. Invite them to investigate the scriptures. Invite them to anything that might give an opportunity for them to hear or know Jesus. And if we do have a chance to share the gospel message with someone, this is the thing that I really mean by this, invite them to respond. Right? The gospel isn't just something we throw out there so they can know the facts. It's an invitation. Jesus is inviting us to come and follow him. And we need to extend that invitation to people around us to put their faith and trust in him. Right? So pray, connect, engage, speak, and invite. Now, as we're closing up the message time this morning, I want to say I know that this is nothing new. Like, we've done series on these things before. We've talked about these in many different ways. They've all come up at some time or another here at Portico. They may even be things you're going, yep, I already know that. But as a church, been a little stagnant in the outreach department. And I just want to see us elevate that to a much higher priority. And I'm not saying that it's important for the sake of growing in number, gaining people, putting more butts in the seats. That's not what it's about. Yeah, that'd be great, right? But we need to do it because it's supposed to be the central mission of every church. Every church. I am God's plan. And you are God's plan for sharing the truth about Jesus. He's the plan of salvation. We're God's plan for sharing it with the world. Now, we didn't have a statement to consider directly last week, but I'm going to give you one this week. And it's simply this: I am sharing the gospel with others around me. I am sharing the gospel with others around me. Is that true for you? Is that true for me? I mean, we probably all agree, should be, but is it actually? I'm sharing the gospel with others around me. Like, I need to see every person who is still alive that does not know Jesus as someone worth fighting for. Now, even though we've focused on this idea and this theme this week, message-wise, I don't want this to just be a one-off message. Like, we're just talking about it this week, and as if that's going to change things miraculously. Over the next few weeks, I want to ask you to take a few intentional steps with me in this area. Steps which can maybe be our assignment for the week to help us get back on track, or to get on track for the first time in our life with the mission of Jesus, the commission that he's called us to, helping people know him and grow in what it means to follow him. And so our first step for this week is to pray, You have the sheets of paper with you. You can look at them now. I want to encourage you to take it with you. We're not going to do this now, but I want to encourage you to do this over this week. And on the back part, it walks you through some questions and some things that we've been following up on the message. But on the back part, write down 3, 5, 10, whatever people in your world that you don't, that you know they don't know Jesus. And take time to pray for them each day. Right? That's the first step for this week. Can I ask you to do that? To join me in doing that? Are you willing to join me in just a renewed effort for us to start fighting harder for the people around us who just don't know him yet? Because he cares about them as much as he cares about us. And he wants them to know his love. We're going to pray and we're going to close with a few songs of worship this morning. Team, you can come on up if you're set. Lord God, the reality of your gospel message, the good news about Jesus, is something you long for each person to know. And your heart is broken for each person around us who doesn't know Jesus yet. You long for them to come to know you in a personal way, just as we do. And in your wisdom, your plan is for us to be the ones to share that truth with people around us. Lord God, we know there's a lot of reasons why maybe that doesn't happen. We feel inadequate. We feel like we're not very good at it. We feel like people are going to shut us out, reject us. Maybe we'll feel like outcasts, and that can lead to fear. That can lead to, I don't know, we just get apathetic. We just lose track of the things that are supposed to be most important. Sometimes a fire that burned inside of us a long time ago, we were passionate about sharing you with others, and that's just kind of now a back burner thing. We still love you. We still want to follow you. We still believe you're the most important thing in this universe, and that there's no greater thing we can do than put our faith and trust in you, but somehow that passion that we had for seeing others know it has kind of dwindled. And this morning we pray that we would, first of all, just see that fire rekindled. That you would fan it into a flame again in our hearts. And we also pray that we would be intentional about taking some steps to move forward in this. We know that you have given your life on the cross for us so that we could be made right with you. We believe that, God. And Lord, if there's anyone who happens to be here today for the first time that's hearing that, going, man, that's the first time I've ever heard it in a way that makes sense to me, and I believe, Jesus, that you died for my sin, for all the stuff I've done wrong, and I want your forgiveness, I want your mercy, I want to be made right with you. I want that eternity in heaven. In the quietness of your heart, just say to the Lord, God, I want to follow you. I surrender to you. And I want to receive Jesus. And for those of us who are in that place where we have been following you for a while, for a long time, for decades, for months, whatever it is, God, we pray that you would use us and that it would begin with a heart that longs to seek you on behalf of those around us, that we would pray, that we begin to pray. This week, God, would you pound that on our hearts to take time out of our busy lives to do something that is way more important than just about anything else we can do, to pray for those who don't know you and to seek you out on their behalf. Help us to step into this battle and to fight harder for those around us that don't know you, God. Because you are the way of salvation, but we're your plan to share it. And we want to step into it with all that we are. So we lift this up before you this morning. We pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus, who is so incredible. And gave his life for us. We're so grateful, God. Pray this in his name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.